my nephew was sitting beside me just a moment ago taking communion, and I came down. He's 6 years old, Mason. He's adorable. And I came down to sit beside him, and he held up his glass, and he said, "This was really good." And I really hope that's your feeling, you know, as you're here today, as you're in God's house, that when you walk out in 4 hours from now, that you're like, "Wow, this was really good." That's really the goal for you. Now, I'll tell you, I got some mixed feelings today. It's our last week in Colossians. We did 12 weeks studying this amazing book, and we're down to the end. This is chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 2 through 6 today and focus in on these. The end of chapter 4, Paul greets a lot of people, so you can read those greetings later on your own time. But we're focusing in right here, and just read with me if you would. I'm going to read, starting in verse 2. Here we go. "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer everyone." Let me just tell you, just right at the bat, these verses in Colossians 4, 2 through 6, give Christian values to us and teach us, show us how we should be living our lives as Christians. Now, maybe you walked in today and you would say, "Yes, Pastor Tom, I'm a follower of Christ. I'm definitely a Christian. I know I am." That's you. Just raise your hand. Just give a little hand-raising confirmation. Okay, that's not you, and you didn't raise your hand. You know what? These verses and this message is really geared towards those who have accepted Christ. And if you haven't, I'm just encouraging you, just sit back, relax, listen in, and listen to what it's like to be a Christian. But I can tell you, these verses give us these values of how to live. And, you know, values are an important thing to know. And sometimes you see values in a strange way. You know, in Ohio, we have certain values that affect our lives. And back in January, my mother moved to Africa for a 3-year stint in missions. And OSU's football season began on Saturday. And she sent me this picture. She gathered some children together and she sent me a little OHIO from Africa. That's a little representation of our values that she sent me there. But let's just jump into this first idea. Paul says this: devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And let me just tell you, look at me. I'm going to tell you, this does not mean, "Hey, pray sometimes." He's not saying that. He's not saying occasionally pray, or, "Hey, think about praying. If you do, think about it." He says no. He says devote yourselves to prayer. And this word devote, is the Greek word, means this: inflexible persistence or an unyielding attitude. Or it can also mean this: to give unremitting attention to. You are to focus on prayer. It's not an occasional prayer or every now and then pray, or if you're in church and I say, "Okay, let's pray." It doesn't mean that. It means a life devoted to prayer. Devote yourself to prayer is what he's saying. I'm going to give you an example of this kind of devotion. This is a book that was actually about Martin Luther, and it was written in the 1500s, a long time ago, and the book's called Table Talk. And this is the idea of this book, that Martin Luther had many students that would live in his home, and they would eat at the table with him. And Martin Luther said so many interesting and profound things at the table that his students later wrote a book about the things that he said while he was eating. Now, this is curious. I mean, if they wrote a book about what you say while you're eating, I don't know if it'd be as profound. It'd be like, "Pass the salt." Again, I don't know what that book would be about for you. But Martin Luther said this about prayer. Look what he says. "When Luther's puppy happened to be at the table, he looked for a morsel from his master. And he watched with open mouth and motionless eyes." Can you see that little dog? Do you see the little dog in your mind there? "He," Martin Luther, "said, 'Oh, if I could only pray the way this dog watches the meat. All his thoughts are concentrated on the piece of meat. Otherwise, he has no thought, no wish, no hope.'" That's this idea of being devoted to prayer. Being devoted to prayer in such a way that what I am praying and my prayer is the one thing I'm thinking about, I'm wishing, I'm hoping, just that one thing. Now, I preached this last night. This is no exaggeration. I preached this last night. I went home. I was working with some ground beef to make burgers to put on the grill last night for a late dinner. And I'm sitting there thinking about the sermon, and I'm making a beef patty, and my dog was right there. And just like Luther's dog, my dog was like, "Oh, drop it, Tommy. Drop it. Drop it, drop it." The dog was like so focused in. I thought, man, that's exactly right, Luther, what you're saying. This is how our prayer life should be, so focused on this one thing. Devote yourself to prayer. There's three things today I want you to see, and number one is pray. We are called as Christians to pray. We're called to pray. So how do you do it? How do I do it, Pastor Tom? I would say it like this. Once a day, make an effort to focus on prayer. I'm talking about sit down to pray. What are you doing? I'm praying. Don't bug me. You say to people around you. I'm praying. That's what I'm doing. For me personally, it's early in the morning, although any time of day is fine. But for me, it's first thing in the morning. I wake up, everyone in my house is asleep. My neighborhood feels asleep. And I get up early and I get my Bible out and I open it. And the first thing I do is I pray. I'm making an effort to focus on prayer. Who thinks here? Raise your hand. That's a good idea. Raise your hand. It's a good idea. Focus on prayer. You're beginning your day or your lunchtime or whenever you're most awake, whenever it might be for you, you're focusing on prayer. But also throughout the day, you're praying all day long. As you go to a new place, as you're meeting people, as you're going from business lunches or as you're changing classes in college or high school or middle school or whatever you're doing. Throughout the day, you're praying, God, help me. God, work with me. God, strengthen me. God, show me what to do. But also, Paul says very specifically, there's something I want you to pray about. Look what Paul says. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Paul's saying this, I've got a ministry team. And they're right here. One of them was Epaphras, who went to the Colossians and began that church. And he had many others in his team. He said, pray for us. We are taking the gospel to the nations and pray for us for an open door to our message that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. Let me ask you this. Do you do that, by the way? Do you do that? We did that today in this service. We prayed for Matt and Leslie Safura and their mission and what they're doing. But I want to tell you, this should be part of your prayer life daily, is to pray for people who are out there looking for an open door. And all around the world, and certainly in America, and here in our county, there are people engaged in ministry, and they need prayer. Now, Paul also said this. Paul says, and pray that I should proclaim it clearly as I should. Listen, let me ask you this. Are you praying for me? Are you praying for me? Because I want you to. I'm asking you to. Paul says to, and I'm asking you as well, pray for me. You know, maybe you come to church one day and you come in and I'm preaching. And let's just be honest. Maybe that day my sermon is lousy and it stinks. You know what? That's on you. Okay? Pray for a clear message that I might proclaim it clearly as I should. That's what he's saying. Pray for me. Right? It's a cooperative venture. But maybe you're sitting here. Maybe you're thinking, I don't know about this. I mean, doesn't God just do what God's going to do? How does my prayer affect things? Does my prayer actually affect things? Does my prayer really change something? Let me say this to you. This is your one little take home for today. God works through, listen, the prayers of his people. God works through the prayers of people. I'll tell you a quick story about this, and this is weird. I'm not going to lie. This is weird. I was here one night, Saturday night, preaching like I often do, and I thought things went pretty well that night. Thought I went pretty well, and I preached, and I felt pretty good. I got in my car, and on the way home from church to my house, I had this like strange gurgling in my stomach, and I had this awareness like, you're going to be sick. You're going to get nauseous. And it was, who knows what I'm talking about, right? That feeling you get. And I got home. I couldn't believe how I left the church feeling great, and how I got home, I was feeling lousy. And I went in the bathroom, and I threw up. Don't visualize that, please, if you don't mind. And I threw up, and I got sick, and I told my wife, I'm like, honey, what am I going to do? And she's like, I'll pray for you. And I felt worse, and I called another pastor at Spring Hills, and I said, look, I'm sick. You may have to preach. And that pastor's response was, Tom, don't do it to me. Don't do it to me. Don't make me go out there not prepared. I can't do it. I'm like, all right, I'll take care of it. Whatever happens, I'll preach tomorrow. I was sick. Threw up two more times, three times total. I threw up, and I went to bed, and I'm just praying, Lord, please help me. Restore my strength, heal me, let me preach tomorrow morning. I was sick, and right about midnight or so, I went to sleep, and I remember waking up about 4 in the morning. As I woke up at 4 in the morning, I looked at my watch, and I'm like, okay, and I could feel myself just getting better. I could feel it, and I got up. I'm like, all right, maybe it was like a 24-hour thing compressed down to 8 hours or whatever, and I'm feeling better, and I got in the shower about 4:30. I was rehearsing the sermon. I was like, I'm going to do this. And I came to church that morning, and I'm walking in, that special walk you have, like, I threw up, but I'm going to preach, you know, kind of walked in that special way. It's a certain strut that you have in your walk, and I walked in, and two people came to me that morning, and they said the same exact thing, and this blows my mind. The first one came to me, and she said this, Tom, what was happening to you last night? I said, what do you mean? She said, God woke me up at 4 in the morning to pray for you. God woke me up. I was sound asleep. God woke me up, and God said to me, pray for Tom. And she said, I got on my bed, and I got on my knees, and I prayed for you. What was happening? And I'm like, well, I was throwing up. That's what was happening, and I appreciate your prayer. And then I was like, that blows my mind. And then just a little bit later, another person came to me, both of them women. Hey, men, why are you not praying for me? Let me ask you that. Both of them women. And then someone came to me, and she's like, Tom, what was happening to you last night about 4 a.m? I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, God woke me up, and he said, pray for Tom. And, you know, this just blows your mind. Think about what I'm saying. I mean, listen, you don't have to clap yet. Hold on, right? Think about what I'm saying. I'm praying that God would heal my body that I could preach. Why didn't God just zap me and it could have been our secret? He didn't do it that way. God woke up two godly women and no godly men to pray, right? To pray for me, because God works through, listen, God works through the prayers of his people. Amen? So don't ever be like, oh, I'm not going to pray. It means nothing. Forget it. Yeah. Okay, now you can clap. Go ahead. That's it. There you go. Right there. Sorry, I was holding you back on that for a little bit, right? I want to make a point, right? Pray. Yeah, I love you, man. Pray. Please sing. Devote yourselves to prayer. Being, you say it when I get there. Being, and this is number two. First you pray and now you're watchful. Let me say something about your notes. The first line all the way down is pray every time. And the second one is watch every time. So you can fill in the watches right there. You're praying, and that your praying leads to watching. Paul says, be watchful. Now, what does that mean? Watchful. Here's the NASB, same verse. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert. He means be alert, be aware, be sensitive. The word is defined as this: watchful, awake, alert, watching. And here's the idea. This does not mean pray and then be physically watching around you. It means be spiritually aware. You're praying, you're tapping into something in a spiritual realm, and suddenly your spiritual eyes are open. God, how are you going to work? God, I'm praying that you would use me in someone's life. Show me someone to reach out to. God, my eyes are open. I'm watching. It's so important to live your life alert and awake. Amen? You're alert. You're awake. You're seeing what's happening. Now, all of you, I promise, just listen, I promise you, all of you will be awake or alert to something in your life. The question is, what will you be alert to? Maybe you'll be alert more to yourself than to what God's doing. Maybe you're questioning yourself. What am I wearing? Do my clothes look nice? And are they perfectly in style? Does my belt match my shoes? It's a question I have every day. You know, you're looking at yourself. You're looking in the mirror. How do I look? And you're focused on yourself. Maybe that's what you're watching. Maybe the example for you would be this young lady. Her name is Amy Sharp. Maybe you've heard about Amy. Amy lives in Australia, and unfortunately, Amy was arrested in Australia for some crime that she committed. She was taken in, and they took this mugshot of her. That's her mugshot right there. And something happened in the booking procedure, and Amy saw an opening, and she ran out of the police station, and she ran away, a fugitive from the law in Australia. And the police in Australia, they put out an all-points bulletin about Amy, and they put out on their Facebook page, hey, there's a fugitive, watch out for her, and they put this picture up. Well, Amy had her phone, and she saw on Facebook, on her phone, the post from the police, and she responded to the police post, and here's what Amy said. She said this: could you use this photo, please? Please and thank you. That's, and she put an emoji of a smiley face with a halo on it. And she said to the police, a new photo to upload to Facebook, because she didn't like the photo they were using. I mean, you compare the photos for yourself. Here's the one they took, and there's the new one. Now, I'll be honest, she looks way better than the other one. I'm with you, Amy. I'm getting it, right? But you know what she's so concerning to her was her image. How do I look? That she contacts the police on Facebook. Now, a description of her on her own Facebook page was this. She says about herself, just a little princess with anger issues. Hey, young man, do not ever date a girl with that description. I'm just telling you right now. Stay away, young man. Stay away. You know, the police actually used the location feature on Facebook, which was open, and they caught her because she responded to what they were saying. You know what she's worried about? She wasn't worried about getting away. She wasn't worried about being watchful towards God's glory. She was concerned about her own appearance. In some way, is that like you? Are you more worried about you and your life and how you look and what you're doing and your agenda and your grades and your next promotion than you are about God's kingdom? It says, be watchful. Be in prayer and be watching with spiritual eyes for what God is doing around you. Hey, Pastor Tom, what should I be watching? Well, the same Greek word that Paul uses, Peter, also uses the same word, and Peter says it like this. Be alert. Say alert. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Listen to me, Christians. You have an enemy. That you're alert to that. I have an enemy. And wherever I go, whatever I do, he is searching for a way to gain entrance to my life to render me useless for God's kingdom. There are temptations, there are snares all around me. I'm alert to what's happening. Now, maybe you don't know much about this, and if you're a man, let me just tell you, we got a Bible study coming up called Know Your Enemy, written by Pastor Jeff Houghton. You can go back to the back. There's a table back there and sign up for that study, Know Your Enemy. It's actually beginning with another men's Bible study we have called the 8th study based on the Sermon on the Mount. In fact, men, listen, these Bible studies kick off next Saturday at a men's breakfast. How many men here like breakfast? Raise your hand. How many men here like bacon for breakfast? It was like a grunting. I heard some grunting, some like very manly grunting happening over there. But anyway, we're having a men's breakfast this Saturday. I'll be there. I'll be speaking. Come on out. We're talking about men's issues. No, ladies, you cannot know the topic of that talk. Men's issues are the talk, not health issues, just spiritual issues. But men, come on out for that. Have breakfast, and then you can join one of the Bible studies, or you can just go home if you want to. But here's the thing. Know your enemy. What else are you watching for? You're watching to see where the devil might attack you. But how many guys here, raise your hand, you're a parent or a grandparent in this room, raise your hand. You're watching. You know, you're watching over the lives of your children, the lives of your grandchildren. We studied last week this verse in Colossians 3:21. Fathers, do not embitter your children. Or mothers, be careful in how you interact with your children. How do you do that? You watch over their lives. You diligently, prayerfully are watching over them. Parents, be prayerful, watchful over your children. Are they safe? Are they not safe? Listen, if you've got a child, any age, a child in your home, and they've got a smartphone or a tablet or an iPad or whatever, you should be looking at that thing periodically to find out what is going on. You're watching. Some of you are appalled. I felt it in the room. I felt like, what? You're watching for their attitudes. You're watching for their demeanor. You're there to help them in your life. But let me also say to you, just listen. We have a new ministry beginning this week. You heard about in the announcements, and it's really designed to help kids succeed in life. It's called Gear Up. Gear Up is a 10-week program, and each week, elementary, middle school, high school students get a new tool to make them successful in life. I have a good friend of mine. Her name's Julie Scritchfield, and Julie's daughter, Emma, went through this program, a similar program, with similar principles a few years ago, and I asked her to sit down and talk about how this can impact your children no matter what they're facing in life. So here's my friend, Julie Scritchfield. Here's my friend, Julie Scritchfield. One more time. I can hear the noise. It's been unmuted. Oh, trying again. Ready? Okay. It's the channel's unmuted. We have a new sound system today, by the way, everybody. Isn't it great? Isn't it? Yeah, it's going well. It's good. Absolutely. We may come back to the video with Julie. Anybody here can help us? Okay. So Julie was going to talk about Gear Up and how important that is. We might come back to that video. But here's a question. What are we watching for? And this verse specifically talks about watching for this. So stay with me. That God may open a door for our message, that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. Now think about that. We're watching for God to provide a way we can impact someone else's life. Watching to see where you may find an open door to share Christ. Here's the third thing in this message. To pray, to watch, and to engage. Why don't you guys say engage one time? Just say engage. That, by the way, is the third thing on your sheet. It goes all three times down. Engage. Pray, watch, engage. In fact, Paul says to us in verse 5, make the most of every opportunity. Engage with people around you. You're seeing their need. You're praying. You're watching. And now you're looking to engage. How might you do it? Here's number one. To reach out and help someone. You're engaging. Talked to a woman last night in church, and she was new to our church, new here. I said, hey, how'd you start coming to Spring Hills? And she said this. She said, you know, somebody from this church knew we were in need, and they brought us some groceries. And that showed me God's love, and I thought I'd give it a shot. So here it is right here, reaching out and helping someone in need, or to pray with someone, to engage by simply seeing someone out there and just offering to pray with them and be in prayer, but certainly to engage by sharing Christ, to share Christ with someone else. Now let me say something to you guys, and I want you to hear this. When I said to you earlier that as Christians, you need to pray, you were all nodding so much, there was a gentle breeze coming my way. You were like, yes, yes, we should be praying. And when I said, Christians, you should be watching, you were all nodding, and I felt that breeze again. Yes, we should be praying and watching. But when I said engage, it was like, you guys, whoa, hold on, Pastor Tom. I'm a praying Christian, but I'm not an engaging Christian. That's what you were thinking. You got to get over that. Because you are called to pray, absolutely, to watch, absolutely, and to engage. To step out, to make a difference in someone else's life. Not just pray. Now, some Christians, look at that formula. Some Christians pray, watch, gossip. That's not you. Don't do that, right? Some Christians pray, watch, disengage, step away. Don't let that be you. Pray, watch, engage to help someone in a very specific and intentional way. Look what John Stott says. This is such a great quote. Look what he says. God has spoken and God has acted. He has said something and done something. This means that Christianity is not just talk, not just a collection of religious ideas or a catalog of rules. It calls us to faith and action. Amen. Our faith is both, our faith is belief and praying and watching, and it's action. It's engaging in someone else's life. Look what Paul says specifically. Let your conversation, say conversation. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer everyone. This means you're going to have spiritual conversations with other people. Do you see that? He says, second of all, be always full of grace. What a great idea. When you talk to somebody about faith who doesn't know about faith, it's full of grace. You're not condemning. You're not judging. You're full of grace. This verse actually links up with what Peter said in 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this, look what it says, with gentleness and respect. How important that we're full of grace, we're gentle and respectful to people who don't believe like we believe. We're engaging them, we're talking, we're praying, but we have gentleness and respect. 1997 was the year that I got married, almost 20 years ago, 19 years ago. I was married August 2nd. Before I got married, August 2nd, a friend of mine was actually married in Dallas, Texas, a college buddy of mine, and I was in the wedding. I was a groomsman. I flew down to Dallas, Texas. Anybody been to Dallas in July? Yeah, sorry about that. Anyway, so I flew down to Dallas in July. I was there for the wedding, and actually, everything went really well. We went out, had a bachelor party. It was great and fun and Christian and, you know, safe, and we had the wedding, and that was great, and things were good, and I was actually going to fly back to Ohio, so I was in a van going to the airport, and on the way to the airport, our van broke down. That was not a very happy thing to happen, and they were calling a new van to come get us, and we're all just kind of sitting there, some groomsmen, some bridesmaids, and we're just sitting there waiting to go to the airport, and we're in this kind of shady part of Dallas, and this car drives up across the street from us. And the car drives up, and it was like a little car, like a Pinto maybe, or a Yugo, something like that, and it drove across the street, and this guy got out. And we're all watching him because we're doing nothing else, and we're just watching him, and this really weird thing's happened. He gets in the car and he pulls out this thing and he pulls it out and it's like a huge magnetic like speaker, and he puts it on top of his car, two big speakers, and he gets out a microphone and we're like, what's this guy doing? And he plugs the microphone into something in his car and he turns on a sound system and he's like, test, test, and it's like reverberating this noise, and my friend Mike was there beside me, my college buddy Mike, and he's like, what's he gonna do? What's he gonna do? And he's like, do you think he's about to preach? Are we about to witness an open air preacher? I'm like, I don't know, Mike, let's see. And the guy's like, test, test. And this woman walks by. And he yells out, he's like, you sinner! And I'm like, what is happening? And Mike looks at me, he's like, oh, he's one of those preachers. You know, and we had him on. And then a guy walked by and he's like yelling at this guy, you get out of your sin, you're blah, 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 you porn, blah, blah. You know, all these things, he's yelling at him. And Mike hits me, my friend Mike, he's like, let's go talk to him. We got to set this guy straight. I'm like, all right. So we cross the street, Mike and I, two 20-year-old guys, cross the street, and he gets this look in his eye. And he has total panic on his face, like, someone's confronting me. And we walk up, and my friend's Mike, like, hey, hey, we're pastors. We weren't pastors. He said, we're Christians, we're Christians. He puts a mic down, he's like, okay. And my friend Mike's like, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? He's like, I am here to preach the word of God to these people who are walking by. And I said, well, what do you normally do? He's like, well, I point out their sin to them. I said, well, how many years have you been pointing out sin to people in their life? And he looked real proud, and he's like, for over 18 years, I've been preaching here in Dallas. And I said, well, how many people have accepted Christ because of your preaching? And his face got real weird, and he's like, well, I got in a conversation with a guy one time. That was it. I remember thinking, don't you see something wrong with this picture? That when all you're doing is judging and screaming and preaching these hateful words to people who walk by, who's going to hear you calling them down and want to walk over and say, oh, it sounds like you've got a great solution. That's not how it works. Look what the Bible says. Be always full of grace and do with gentleness and respect. Then a few minutes, by the way, of talking to that guy, the police pulled up. Somebody called the police, and the police pulled up. And he's like, oh, got to go. And he like pulled his speaker down, got in his car, and he drove off real fast. I remember I had this bitter taste in myself, like my mouth. Like, why would you do that? Why have a ministry based on pointing out how everyone's wrong and how dirty they are and all these bad things? Shouldn't we be full of grace, right? Are you with me on this? Be full of grace. Do everything with gentleness and respect. And there's one more element. Look at this. He says, seasoned with salt. Your conversation is seasoned. Bible scholar Adam Clark says this: salt, from its use in preserving food and rendering savory, has always been made the emblem of wisdom. Have wisdom, have strategic conversations with people. Here's the idea. You pray, you watch, you engage. Are you seeing this? Let me tell you something. I want you to listen clearly. You are God's plan to reach the world. Listen again. You, me included, us, we are God's plan to reach the world. And this is how you do it. You're praying, you're watching, you're engaging with people that they might be touched by the Holy Spirit and begin to have faith based on your example and your prayer and your words and how you engage them. Do you see this? You are the plan. The plan is not for God to rise up four or five super Christians who do all the work and all you do is sit back and wait for great sermons. That's not the plan. The plan is that you would come to church and be energized to go out praying and watching and engaging with other people. This is the idea that we would make the most of every opportunity. Amen? So Paul says in verse 5, Pastor Tom, who could I ever engage? How about this group? Immediate family. Or how about this group? Extended family. Or what about your friends? What about your neighbors? Who has someone in this room? Raise your hand in one of those four categories that needs to hear about Christ. Anybody have someone in that category? You're praying, you're watching, you're engaging. How about this group? Work or school. You're going to spend countless hours in school or at work seeing people. Why not be praying, watching, and looking to engage? How about this one? Sports, recreation. How about this one, last of all? Strangers you meet in public. Now, I'm going to tell you a story that no other service has heard, so listen in. Somebody told me last, between the 9 o'clock service, they said, Tom, I got a story for you. I said, great. They said, this weekend, just yesterday, Saturday, they had four tickets to watch the Reds play baseball. Any Reds fans in the house? And they were going down to the Reds game. It was two parents and their two sons, and the two sons realized Ohio State's playing, and they're like, we're watching football, not baseball. Sorry, Mom and Dad. And they went down to the game. They had two extra tickets. And they decided on the drive down, we're going to give away these two tickets to someone looking for tickets, and we're praying that God would put the right people in these seats with us that we could possibly get to a point of having a conversation about faith with these people. How great is that? They're praying. They're watching. Well, they walk up to the ticket window to find some people, and there's a couple there about their same age, and they walk up and they say, are you looking for tickets to the Reds game? And this couple says, yeah, we're looking for tickets. I'm like, you know what? We've got two extra tickets. Our sons were going to come, and they bailed. And this couple said, you know what? Our sons decided to come, and they took our tickets, so now we're looking for more tickets, and that's kind of how it went. And they gave them the two tickets. And they're walking their seats, and they said, hey, where are you guys from? And the couple said, oh, we're from right around Columbus. They said, we're from right around Columbus. Where are you from exactly? They said, oh, we're from Granville. And this couple said, oh, we're from Granville too. What an amazing thing. And they sat down in these seats, all four of them together, all of them from Granville. I've been praying, God put us in the right place. They had a great conversation about church and where do you go to church and reaching out to God. And it wasn't offensive. It wasn't over the top. It was gentle and with respect. Amen? Is that a great story? That's the example. They're praying, they're watching, and they're engaging with people around them. They began a brand new friendship for God's kingdom. How amazing is that? I want to say one last thing. You are God's plan. You are God's plan. Pray, watch, engage. I'm going to end this sermon. I got a picture of Ronald Reagan up there. Ronald Reagan is his second inaugural address in 1984. He told a story that I'm kind of personally partial to. I like this story. And assuming that we have audio, I'm going to play it for you. And just listen to Ronald Reagan, his second inaugural address.
Here's touch marker. Lies a young man, Martin Treptow, who left his job in a small town barber shop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division. There on the Western Front, he was killed trying to carry a message between battalions under heavy artillery fire. We're told that on his body was found a diary. On the flyleaf, under the heading, My Pledge, he had written these words. America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone.
Do you get what he's saying? America must win this war, so I will work and I will save and I will sacrifice. I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. What if you had a pledge like that in your life? What if your pledge went something like this? I am a follower of Jesus Christ. Therefore, I will work and I will save and I will give. I will sacrifice. I will endure. I will pray faithfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. Now, it doesn't depend on you. You have all of us. We have each other. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us. But what if you made that pledge? I will pray. I will watch. I will engage. Why don't you bow your head and we'll close this service out. I'm going to ask you to do something dramatic. We're ending our series on Colossians on this note, and I want to ask you to do something dramatic. If you're listening to me preach today and you've realized that perhaps you're not praying, watching, and engaging in the way that you should, I'm going to ask you to realign in your relationship with God. That you would make a pledge that would basically say, God, I will pray. I will devote myself to prayer. I will watch with spiritual eyes what's happening around me. And God, I will engage because I know I am the plan, even though that makes me scared and fearful. And I don't know exactly how to do it. I don't exactly know the words to say, but God, I commit to praying, watching, and engaging. And I'm going to ask you to make that declaration to God on your knees. You know, being on your knees is a very biblical thing to do. It's something that we see in the Bible over and over again. And being on your knees says to God, I'm serious about this. And being on your knees says to yourself, I'm serious about this. So I'm boldly asking if you would get out of your seat, walk up to the altar or somewhere in the aisle near your seat, you would get on your knees and say, God, I will pray, I will watch, I will engage, because I know I am part of your plan to reach this world. So as I begin to pray, I'm going to ask you to boldly stand up and walk up and kneel and declare that to God. I'm going to begin to pray. As I begin to pray, come on up. Father God, just stand up right now, wherever you are. Walk up, walk on up. Father God, I thank you for this day. Come on up, come find your spot. Come on. I thank you, God, for all those who are walking and coming to get on their knees. That God, you would bless them and that you would work in this time and work in this way. That God, as they come and as they declare to you by their posture where they are, that you would honor that, God. And God, I pray that you would reset even in our minds. Give us a picture of a person, God, that we're called to reach out for, praying for, and watching for, and engaging with. And God, I pray this weekend could be a reset for us in our relationship with you, to know we are called to reach our friends, our family, our neighbors, those we work with and go to school with and sports and recreation, and God, even strangers in public, that we're called to reach out to them in your name. Father, I praise you and thank you today.